Hare Krishna. Thank you everyone for attending the class this morning. So today we're reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 8, verse 276. We're going to start from 275 and then we'll read 276 together. A chapter entitled Talks Between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. You have to forgive me because I do have a little bit of a cold. Anyway, Hare Krishna. Translation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, a person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. So now we move on to text 276. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The plants, creepers and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. Purport. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 35, text 9, is one of the songs the gopis sang during Krishna's absence. In Krishna's absence, the gopis were always absorbed in thought of him. Similarly, the Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee, sees everything as potentially serving the Lord. Srila Rupa Goswami states, Prapanchikataya buddhaya hari sambandhi vastuna mamukshubi pratik Parityago Varagyam Fagu Katayate Bhakti Rasamita Sindhu 1-2-126. The advanced devotee does not see anything as unconnected with Krishna. Unlike the Mayavadi philosophers, a devotee does not see the material world as false because he knows that everything in the material world is connected to Krishna. A devotee knows how to utilize everything in the service of the Lord. And this is the characteristic of the Mahabhagavat. The gopis saw the plants, creepers, and forests. The gopis saw the plants, creepers, and forest trees loaded with fruits and flowers and ready to serve Krishna. In this way, they immediately remembered their worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. They did not simply see plants, creepers, and trees the way a mundana sees them. Om Gyananti Milandasya Gananjana Shlaka Chakshu Sammilita Svantasmin Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Panchakaupa Tirubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavan Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Jaya. So we've been listening to this chapter for many, many months now. Talks between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy has been asking questions throughout the whole chapter. But only recently, about three or four verses ago, the roles changed and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking questions, Ramananda Roy was answering them. So now, it's the other way around, Ramananda Roy is asking the Lord questions, and Lord Chaitanya is answering the questions, and this is one of the verses where Lord Chaitanya is speaking. Ramananda Roy was asking, why is it that I can see, when I look at you, I can see a golden form, I can see you holding a flute. Yeah, I can see all these things. I can see Krishna. And then Lord Chaitanya said, because this is natural for a person like you, because you're an elevated soul. And then Lord Chaitanya spoke this verse today. This verse is a verse from the Rasa Pancha Dahi, which is... Pancha means five, and there are five chapters in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And those chapters, they specifically deal with the Rasa Leela and other pastimes with Krishna and the gopis. And they are chapters 21, 31, 35, where this verse is from, 39 and 47. So those five chapters from the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are like, as the French would say, the creme à la creme of the 10th, of the Srimad Bhagavatam, actually. Or the Indians would say they are the kheer or the burfi of the Bhagavatam. Many years ago, my brother Sridham, his service was to make burfis, and Mother Klanganath trained him up. And he was telling me how to make them. It takes hours and hours to boil the milk down. You have to boil it on a very, very low flame, otherwise they burn. And you end up with burnt burfi. So you're just boiling the milk, you're boiling the milk, you're boiling the milk. And the first thing that comes up is the rubbery and the kheer. So you scoop that off at the top, and then you continue boiling it until you get this toffee-like mixture, and that's the burfi. So here, Lord Chaitanya is compared to, or his activities are compared to condensed milk, and Ramananda Roy is compared to sugar candy. And when you mix the two, you're going to get this beautiful mixture, burfi. So that's, see, that's what we're getting in this chapter. We're getting, you know, with Ramananda Roy's questions, Lord Chaitanya's answers, we're getting this amazing mixture and sweetness. Yeah. So within those five chapters, so my mind's not working very well today. I've been sick, I've had a cold, and please bear with me. So within these five chapters are these songs of the gopis, which makes it even more sweet. So the 10th canto is like Krishna's beautiful face. And within the face, we have the eyes, the mouth, the nose, five senses. So those five chapters are like the five senses, the five eyes, nose, ears of Krishna. So the first song of the gopi is the Venu Gita. The Venu Gita. Krishna's pastimes are split in according to the time and time of day. Like, he has his morning pastimes. He wakes up in the morning. He has his pastimes. Then later on, he goes from 8:24 to 10:48. He has his morning pastime called the Purvana pastime, where Krishna goes with the coward boys to the forest. So the Vrajavasis, they're very eager to engage in devotional service, unlike us sometimes. So the coward boys, they're thinking, they're sleeping, and they're thinking, tomorrow morning I'm going to go with Krishna to the forest. So sometimes they can't sleep because they're so excited. Yeah, but you have to remember, they've done this unlimited times before. It's not a new thing. Yeah. So they get up early sometimes, and they knock on Mother Yashoda's door, and they say, "Is Krishna ready?" And she says, "No, he's still sleeping. We want to go with him to the forest." So then she said, "No, he'll be ready soon." So then another boy comes and knocks on the door. "Is Krishna ready?" And she says, "No, I'm getting him ready. Come in and help me get Krishna ready." So they dress Krishna. Mother Yashoda is dressing Krishna, the gopis are dressing Krishna like this. So they're very eager. Wouldn't it be good if we were so eager when we woke up in the morning? "Well, I'm going to go to Mangalati today. I'm really looking forward to sitting down and chanting my rounds, you know. Wouldn't that be amazing?" So the Rajarasis, their eagerness to engage in devotional service is like that. So then when Krishna's ready, he goes to the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and he blows his horn, the Mogadosh. And it said, it's described that when he blows his horn, millions and millions of gopas come out. And there's millions and millions of cows. But somehow, they all seem to fit in Nanda Maharaj's courtyard. That's the potency of Yoga Maya. It's inconceivable for us. And then they go into the forest, but the gopis, they can't go because they are in parikya ras. They're in wedded relationship with Krishna. Unwedded. They're married to someone else. They're not married to Krishna. Svakya is when the gopis are married to Krishna. So they're constantly with Krishna. So they can't go with Krishna because they're having to stay at home and do their household chores. So then Krishna's in the forest and then he's playing his flute. And then the gopis are hearing the flute and they're just thinking, wow, this is amazing. And they're having all these emotions, developing these moods. And so then they all get together and then they start speaking about Krishna playing the flute. And this is called the Venu Gita. They're actually singing a song. That's why this verse can be sung in very nice, all different ragas. It's a difficult verse to sing. Bhakti Chumaraj would quite often sing this chapter. So they were singing, they would sing this, and they would glorify Krishna. But there was sometimes they were singing code, and not everyone could understand what they were saying. Because remember, they're married to someone else, so they've got to be careful what they're saying in public. Right? So the Bhagavatam is sometimes it's written in code, and the way we can understand it is through hearing the acharya speaking. Of course, when no one's around, then they will be straightforward. They will just speak openly about Krishna. Like this. So why is it Lord Chaitanya is quoting this verse here? So there are two simultaneous leelas and pastimes and dharms manifesting and going on at the same time. There's the prakat dharm, which is manifest before our eyes, and then there's the uprakat leela going on in the uprakat dharm, which is unmanifest to the eyes. So when Krishna comes to this planet, he brings Goloka Vrindavan with him, everything. So it's like a carbon copy of this spiritual world in Goloka. So he brings everything with him. So everything is visible. The Aprakat Leela is constantly going on. So what the Mahabhagavat is seeing here in this verse, it is the Aprakat Leela he's seeing. So that's why Lord Chaitanya is connecting this verse to what the Mahabhagavat is seeing. And that Mahabhagavat is none other than Ramananda Roy. So the gopis, when they're singing the Venu Gita, they're singing it in the expressive mood of Purva Rag. Purva Rag is a mixture of certain ingredients, and some of those are Vibhav and Anubhav, along with Jaya. So Purva argues is a combination of certain mixtures, Vibhav and Anubhav, and along with intense. Vipralamba Bhav. So the gopis, they're singing these songs in Vipralamba, which is separation from Krishna. So there's Vipralamba and then there's Sambhoga, which is union. It said that the more intense the Vipralamba, the more relishable the Sambhoga or the union is going to be. Yeah. So Krishna is constantly leaving Vrindavan. He's leaving the company of the gopis and the gopis and the Vajravasis, and he's returning, constantly doing this. Sometimes he only leaves for a short period. He may just leave for an hour or two, or even for a moment. But sometimes he leaves for many, many years, just like when he went to Mathura to kill Kamsa. I think it was 20, 40 years? 30. It was a long time he left before he came back. So this constant leaving and coming back, leaving and coming back, this is creating Vipralamba Bhav within the Vrajavasis. It's a very high emotion, spiritual emotion. So there are two kinds, short and long. When Krishna leaves for a short period or he leaves for a long period. Yeah. So here in the Venu Gita, he's leaving for a short period. He's just going to the forest and he'll be back. But they're still, even in that short period, they're still totally absorbed. They're totally thinking, oh, when is Krishna going to come back, you know? So they're expressing that mood or those prayers in Purva Rag. And Purva Rag is, so Rupa Goswami defines it. It's like when a boy and a girl meet. It's a feeling you get prior to meeting. In other words, if you know, like these days they have date websites. I've never been on one, but anyway, they have date websites, and you see a picture of someone, right? Or they write something about themselves, yeah. It's a mundane example. And you finally see him and you think, about that picture is not the same as what I'm looking at now. Yeah. So, just like Radharani, she heard about Krishna. And Vishakha, she drew a picture of Krishna. So when they meet Krishna, it's like they're meeting him for the first time, every time they meet him. Whereas in the material world, relationships, at the beginning they're very nice, all right? Well, why are they very nice at the beginning? Anybody? No? Could anybody? Why are relationships very nice at the beginning? Yeah, why? Because... the answer I'm looking for is because at the beginning everything's new, isn't it? Right? Everything's new, isn't it? The first kiss, the first time he bought her flowers, the first time you went to the movies, the first argument. Sorry, I shouldn't have said that. The first argument of many, but there's only the first argument. So everything is new at the beginning. And that's why relationships at the beginning are very relishable, are very nice. But later on, it starts becoming a bit of a chore. And people try to do things in such a way that they want to experience that same first taste. But in the material world, first is only once. You can't have the first time twice, or the first time three times, or 100 times. Yeah. So to have this saying, right? We need to reignite our relationship. You heard that saying? Yeah. So there's so many ways of trying to reignite a relationship in a mature world. We book a holiday. Same holiday we booked thousands of times before. But this time it's going to be different. This time we're going to book a more expensive hotel. And this hotel's got a swimming pool and it's got a sauna and everything. So they're trying to develop, to experience that first time again and again and again. But in a mature world, that first time never happens. It only happens once. But in a spiritual world, the first time happens unlimitedly. And that's through the expressive emotional purva rag. So the gopis are singing the Venu Gita in this mood. So when they see Krishna, finally, they'll see Krishna. He comes. It's like they've seen him for the first time. Yeah. And it's the same with all the Vrajavasis. So in this way, spiritual life is constantly new. It's never stagnant. And even the devotees can experience this. Right? Even we experience this. We're coming to the temple every day. We're doing the same thing every day, every day, every day. Same prayers, the same... Same program, but we're experiencing it according to the level advancement of the devotee. You're experiencing it in a different level, in a different way. So here we're talking about a Mahabhagwa. So the next Gita is the Gopi Gita. The Gopi Gita is chapter 31. That's when Krishna, they're having the rasa dance, and Krishna disappears from the rasa dance. And then the gopis are looking, they're searching for Krishna, where is he, where is he? And then they sing the Gopi Gita. And in the third one, is the Yugala Gita, where this verse is from. Yeah. This is chapter 35 from the 10th canto. Yugala means pairs or two. If you look at the verses in this chapter, they come in pairs. Although this one here is in two pairs. It's 8, 9, 10, and 11. Although this is 9. The reason why they're in pairs is because the gopis, they sing two verses and then they change the subject. And then they sing another two verses, it's a completely different subject. Yeah. But the first verse is a description. And the second verse is the effect. So this verse here, because it's 9, verse 9, is the effect. So I'm going to read verse 8, so you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm going to read 8 and 9 together. So Krishna moves about in the forest in the company of his friends who vividly chant the glories of his magnificent deeds. He thus appears just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his inexhaustible opulences. When the cows wander into the mountainsides and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute. So that's verse 8. And then we're coming to this verse. So that's the description, and this is the effect of that what's happening there. The effect is that the trees and creepers in the forest respond by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As the branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of ecstasy of love of God, and both the trees and creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. So you understand the two verses together. The description. Krishna's going in the forest, and as soon as he starts playing his flute, it's described that all the trees and creepers are just in ecstasy just by hearing his flute. Yeah. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a very nice commentary on this verse. He says, I'll read it out. When Krishna endowed with unchanging opulence, achala vibhuti, similar to Narayan, whose strength is described by the coward boys, wanders in the forest, being attracted by the souls there, all the creepers, along with their husbands, the trees, have indirectly seen Vishnu, who usually appears in the mind, weep tears in the form of streams of honey. They are just like Grahastha Vaishnavas who, on hearing Sankirtan, offer their obeisances along with their wives. Being endowed with flowers and fruit, the creepers have sthayi bhav along with sanctuary bhav of flowers. Sanctuary bhav of joy, which is represented in the flowers. Their completely bent branches indicate the anubhav of paying obeisances. As their hairs were standing on end in joy, they display the sattvika bhav of romancha. So that's Srila Vishnu Chakravarti's commentary on that, on this verse. Of course, Ridhananda Maharaj also gives the commentary on it. This is what the gopis are seeing. They're seeing, wherever they look, they're seeing everything is serving Krishna. So the creepers here, the creepers and the trees, the creepers are compared to, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, are the wives, and the trees are the husbands. So they're like a grahastha couple. As soon as they hear Sankirtan party coming outside, they come out of their house and they pay their obeisances. So that's like the trees, heavy with fruits and flowers. And the fruit is compared to sthayi bhav, another emotion, spiritual emotion, and the flowers are compared to sanctuary bhav. Yeah. So this is the mood of the Mahabhagavat. Yeah. Mahabhagavat is seeing everything related to Krishna. Everything. And he's seeing, what he sees is all in the apakat dham, unmanifest. Therefore, wherever he looks, he sees Krishna. And it's not surprising that Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse because it's in connection with Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy is, who is he in Krishna's Leela? Huh? He's a gopi, yeah. Vishaka. Yeah? Is he Vishaka? Yeah. He's Vishaka Gopi. So it's not surprising. He's seeing the same thing as the gopis are seeing in this verse. That's why Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse. And that's the Mahabhagavat. The Mahabhagavat is eternally residing in the apakat dham of Vrindavan. He sees everything in relation to Krishna. So the honey dripping from the trees is compared to tears coming from the eyes of the devotees who are hearing the Sankirtan. And hair standing on end, Romancha. Right? So we hear every morning, we sing every morning, right? Romancha Kampa Sutaranga Bajo. Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita Vaditya Madhya Manasura Sena. Romancha Kampa Sutaranga Bajo. Vande Gurashi Charanaravinda. We sing that every morning. Because that's in relationship, that song is in relationship to the pure devotee, the Mahabhagavat. And that's what they're feeling, that's their mood. Alright? Pure devotees chanting and dancing in ecstasies, playing musical instruments. Romancha. His hairs are standing on end. And tears are flowing from his eyes. like that. So then, the next Gita is the Vyaha Gita. And that's when the Vyaha Gita is, that's when Akura comes to Vrindavan and he takes Krishna Balaram away to Mathura so they can kill Kamsa. We all know that Krishna, he never leaves Vrindavan. He's always in Vrindavan. So it's said that when Akura, when they come to the border of Vrindavan, there Vasudev Krishna leaves Vrindavan. But Samasunda Krishna, he returns to the Apakat Dham. And he's relating to the Rajavasis there. But the Acharyas say different things. It's also said that Krishna is there with them. He's never gone. He's always there with the Brajavasis, with the gopis. But they're thinking it's a dream. So that they're constantly in Vipralamba Bhav. Yeah. Because for Vipralamba, they can have these highest ecstasies that you cannot have otherwise. Like that. And it said that Uddhava, when Uddhava went to Vrindavan, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, he came back to Krishna in Dwarka and he said to Krishna, he said, why didn't you go back to Vrindavan and see the Vrajavasis? They're suffering. And Krishna said, no, they are always constantly thinking of me in Vipralamba. Krishna said, if I go there, I will upset their meditation on me. And then I would also have to leave again, so I'll be disturbing them. So it's better they just meditate on me in their Vipralamba Bhav, like that. So the question might be raised, why do the, if the Vrajavasis is in so much anxiety and suffering so much from not being with Krishna, why don't they go where Krishna is? So the Acharyas give a couple of reasons why they don't. So this is one of the reasons, because Krishna says he doesn't want to disturb them. They're already seeing Krishna everywhere. And another reason is that when Krishna moves to different dhams, you've got Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka, Krishna goes from dham to dham. He changes his mood. He's got a different mood. When he's in Vrindavan, it's very sweet. Krishna's dressed in a certain way when he's in Vrindavan. He doesn't even wear shoes. He's barefoot. And he doesn't wear a crown. He doesn't even wear a turban in Vrindavan, I think. He just has a peacock feather in his hair and flowers. The cowboys decorate Krishna with wild flowers. So Vrindavan Leela is very sweet. But when he's in Mathura, he's a little bit more opulent. And in Dwarka, he's like a king. Right? He's wearing a crown on his head, golden crown, full with jewels and so many opulent dress he's wearing. Imagine a scenario. Yeah, Krishna's in Dwarka. And he's having a meeting with all his generals. And it's a very serious meeting. They're meeting about how to defend Dwarka from the attacks of Jarasandha and other demons. And then all of a sudden the gopas come in. Krishna, let's wrestle, you know. And one of them jumps on his back, you know. What's going on? Can you imagine what feelings the Dwarkavashis would have? You know, they would be thinking, what's going on here, you know? This isn't right. Don't you know who he is? He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why are you relating to him like that? You know? Yeah, but he's my friend, you know, I'm going to beat him down to the ground, you know? Because that's the mood they have in Vrindavan. There's no awe and reverence at all. Yeah? And Krishna's, in Dwarka, Krishna's the king. He's married to thousands and thousands of queens. And he has thousands of palaces. So you can imagine if the gopis turn up, what's going to happen, right? It wouldn't do very good for his reputation. So it's a rasabas. So that's another reason why the Vrajavasis don't. First of all, they're just very satisfied being in Vrindavan, even when Krishna's not there, because he is there always. He never leaves. In his uppercut lila. So they're constantly relating to him anyway. Like that. So Lord Chaitanya is teaching us this mood of Vipralamba. The only place really Lord Chaitanya exhibited this Vipralamba mood was in Jagannath Puri. And that's why sometimes the devotees call it Vipralamba Chetra. So he's teaching, because Lord Chaitanya's whole mood is Vipralamba. His whole mood is, even his Sankirtan is in the mood of Vipralamba. And if you look at all the Acharyas, they all have the same mood. The songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, right? Gabe Habe Bolo. Gabe Habe means, that's a rare, anybody heard this song? You remember this song, yeah? Very nice song. Vishnu John sings it. Amazing. So Kabe Habe means, when, oh when? Oh when will I? When will that day be mine? He doesn't say, I've got it. I've got Krishna. I can see Krishna. He's saying, when? When will I see Krishna? When will you give me blessings, erase all my offenses, and give my heart a taste, ruchi, for chanting the holy name in purity? So he's saying that. When will the taste, the essence of the holy name, feeling myself to be lower than the grass, my heart filled with tolerance, when will I give respect to all others and be free from the desire for respect for myself or respect from them? When will I cry out that I have no longer any desire for wealth and followers, poetry and beautiful women, all of which are meant just for bodily pleasure? O Gaura Hari, give me causeless devotional service to your lotus feet birth after birth. So it's a beautiful song. So the whole song is when. And that's the whole mood of the Udi Acharyas. And they want us to have the same mood, you know. Not that I'm so advanced. I have Krishna, you know. Now we should be praying to Krishna. When? Now, Krishna, when are you going to take away all my material desires? And my only desire will be to serve you, Krishna. So, because this is the mood of the Vrajavasis, and this is the mood of the Mahabhagavat. Anyway, so the other Gita is the Brahmara Gita. Brahmara means bee. That's the pastime where Uddhava comes to Vrindavan. And because obviously he's bringing a message from Krishna. And then Radharani, she sees a bee. It's called the Song of the Bee. And he starts relating to the bee in a certain way. Some acharyas say there's different reasons why she's talking to the bee. One is that she's completely mad, which she is. She's completely mad for Krishna. And the other reason is that she doesn't want to look. She don't want to look at Uddhava in the eyes, because that was the custom in those days. So she's speaking to the bee to relay the message to Uddhava, like that. Anyway, that's I'm just going to finish off with going to read something. Yeah, so going to read a verse from the 10th canto, 33, chapter 33, text 39. And it says, anyone who faithfully hears or describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober, and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. So we may think that, you know, speaking about the 10th canto is beyond us. Because I think in this temple we never go to the 10th canto, do we? We go to the 9th canto, then go back to the 1st canto. But in Soshu they do, right? Right, Johnny Plant? All the way up to the 12th canto, yeah. But the manor, we, for some reason, all these years, we just stop at the 9th canto. The Brahma Mahun. Okay, where Prabhupada stopped speaking the purport. Yeah, but then you've got the 11th canto and the 12th canto as well. That's the full Bhagavatam, isn't it? Up to the 12th canto. So, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, actually, he never encouraged his devotees to read the 10th canto. But he did encourage those that were qualified. So, I mean, we can say our qualification is Prabhupada, you know. Prabhupada's given us the 10th canto, it's here. And this verse says, you know, if you read it, if you hear about the gopis, then you'll attain pure devotional service at one point. Because we do need to hear about these things. We do need to hear about Krishna's pastimes with the Vrajavasis in Vrindavan, because that's where we're going, isn't it? Yeah. And if we don't hear that at one point, then how are we going to develop the desire to want to go there? Yeah? The desire, greed, has to be there. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.291, he says, one has to have a slight but specific hankering and desire, lobha, greed. Specific means that as we advance, we want to hear about a certain subject matter. We may be attracted to the gopas, or we may be attracted to the gopis, or Vatsalya Ras, Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. So something specific, and then you read that. And then you develop that mood more and more, that desire, the intense greed and desire to want to be there more and more. And then in the next verse, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Sri Rupa Goswami says in verse 292, he says, he gives an indication how to develop that greed. He says, by repeatedly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and specifically these chapters, Krishna and the Gopis and the Vrajavasis, and the books of the six Goswamis. And we can very quickly come to that platform of developing that greed. So Srila Jiva Goswami also says, to develop Raghunuga Bhakti Sadhana, one should especially hear the 10th canto, i.e. the Gopi Gita. So, you know, there's a reason why we've been hearing this chapter for months and months and months, right? And the reason is, it's not so we can distribute more books or stand in a cold. Or those are important. Lord Chaitanya has given us a Sankirtan Yajna. And a Sankirtan Yajna, distributing books, preaching Krishna consciousness, going and hurrying on, those activities very quickly help us come to what the goal of life, which is to develop spontaneous loving devotion for Radha and Krishna. Do you understand? So we have to understand how to get there. Yeah? By hearing Bhagavatam, specifically these chapters, pastimes of Krishna and Vrajavasis, by performing Harinam Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, which is mainly book distribution and Harinam, those two activities, the most primary activities. And then we will very quickly come to the highest platform of loving devotion, spontaneous loving devotion to Radha and Krishna. I've got to say something about Lochan Das Thakur because it's his disappearance today. My mind's not working today. Having a cold, it does do. So today is the auspicious disappearance day of Lochan Das Thakur. I had the proper hard copy papers to read. I left it at home. So I managed to get a signal on my phone, so I wrote something down. So Lochan Das Thakur, he was born in 1523. And Lochan Das Thakur, at a very young age, his parents wanted him to get married. So they married him off. But because they were so young, Lochan Das and his wife were living separately because that's what they did in those days. So when they were at a certain age, they would live together. But Lochan Das was so absorbed in serving his spiritual master, Narahari Sarika Thakur. Narahari was a very intimate associate of Lord Chaitanya. And he was Madhupati Gopi in Krishna Leela. So Lochan Das was completely absorbed in serving the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And he wasn't interested in, even though he'd married this girl, he wasn't even interested in having any relationship. So her parents were fried. So they went to Narahari. They said, "What's going on here? He's married and he's not even, doesn't want anything to do with his wife." So Narahari managed to convince him to go to the village and be a grihastha. Yeah. So he went to the village, and because he hadn't been there for a long time, he didn't know his way around. So he asked one young girl, he said, "Oh, Mataji, could you tell me where such and such place is?" So she told him. He said, "Well, when he went there, she was there." And it ended up that girl was his wife. He'd called her Mataji, but it was his wife. So he had this relationship with his wife based on him thinking that she's my mother. But anyway, through his association, she also became a pure devotee of the Lord. So Lochan Das Thakur, he was famous for writing Chaitanya Mangal. But his spiritual master, Narahari Sakura, taught him also how to sing very nice kirtans, melodious kirtans, because Narahari Sakura was expert at kirtan. But he's famous for writing the Chaitanya Mangal. And Vrindavan Das Thakur also wrote the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And that was also called a Chaitanya Mangal. But because Vrindavan Das Thakur considered himself junior to Lochan Das Thakur, he changed his book to Chaitanya Bhagavat. So you have the Chaitanya Mangal, which is a slightly smaller edition, smaller book, and then which is by Lochan Das Thakur, and you have the Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur, which is quite a larger book. Yeah. Okay, let's turn to. There's not a lot about Lochan Das Thakur, actually. There's not a lot. I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Michelle?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. You were saying that we are trying to develop Lord Chaitanya's mood of Vipralamba, and then you also said we are also trying to develop spontaneous love and devotion. So I just wanted to understand the difference. So you were saying we're trying to develop Lord Chaitanya's mood of Vipralamba, and you also said we're learning to develop spontaneous love and devotion.
Yeah.
I just wanted to understand how both of them are connected or are different or... You know what I mean?
Yeah. What's the difference between spontaneous love and devotion of Vipralamba?
Yeah.
Okay, well, Vipralamba is a mood of longing and separation. Yeah? Like when Krishna leaves, the Vrajavasis are longing for Krishna's return. And then they go into this emotion and mood, and that's called Vipralamba. Separation. Yeah. Whereas spontaneous is spontaneous bhakti. See, we are following sadhana bhakti at the moment. Yeah. Rules and regulations. And that's what we're fixed on, just following those rules and regulations. Yeah, because our devotional service is not fully mature. Yeah, we don't have the natural desire to want to serve Krishna. Therefore, the acharyas have given us so many things. We have to follow. We have to chant a minimum amount of rounds, 16 rounds, follow the four eggs. Prabhupada said, read at least an hour a day. You know you're progressing when you don't... You're not looking at your watch when you're reading. So everything at the moment is based on rules and regulations. Yeah, yeah. So when our devotional service matures, then it will become more spontaneous. Means you're no longer focusing on the rules and regulations. It just naturally comes, right? Yeah. You're no longer looking at your watch when you're reading. I've done my hours reading. You can read for 2 hours, 3 hours, you can read the whole day, and you'll be completely in ecstasy. Yeah? You're no longer chanting, you're no longer counting your rounds on your counting beads, you're just chanting all day. So that's spontaneous bhakti when it just naturally comes. But it's not something artificial, it's not something you can artificially have. Raganuga Bhakti is based on our own effort and also mercy. Mercy coming from those who have it. Raganuga Bhaktas. But if we don't have it, we need to focus on sadhana bhakti. Yeah? Does that... Yeah? Maybe Govinda can say something. Do you want to say something?
Haribol. Vipralamba, case of. It's obvious that Vipralamba is present in all the rasas. I mean, it's not really mentioned as such, but it's particularly prominent in the conjugal rasa. It's like, what's the goal of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas? Now, there's different answers. Some people will say, well, Chari Bhava Bhakti Diye, that Lord Chaitanya gave the four intimate rasas. So when you talk about, we want to develop Raghunuga Bhakti, then that's a broad thing. But sometimes we say he came to give the Unnatochvala rasa, the very topmost love that Radharani had, and in it we start talking about Vipralamba Bhav as being the pinnacle of that. So, I mean, what are we as Gaudiya Vaishnavas? I mean, how broad do you want to be? And then one time, one devotee, a Prabhupada disciple, asked him, is it the case that you can be a devotee of Lord Ram or whatever, and then you'll go back to that realm if you follow ISKCON? And Prabhupada said yes. So, you know, it's how specific do you want to be about our goal? You can be a bhakta of any. You can be a devotee of Lord Ram, come to ISKCON, and then go back to Ayodhya, you know, through your devotional service. But so, if depending on your mood, if you're thinking, oh, it's to get this love of that Radharani has that Lord Chaitanya's given us this, then that's Vipralamba's your goal. So it's kind of like you get different answers depending on what the acharyas say at different times. So it's up to you how specific you want to be.
Yeah, Krishna is, there's another name for Krishna, he's Akila Rasamrita Murti, which means Krishna has the unlimited capacity to be able to relate to each and every devotee differently, according to that devotee's relationship with him and according to the advancement of the devotee. That's why when Krishna plays his flute, according to the rasa, the relationship a person has, a devotee has, they're going to hear that flute differently. Right? By the cows, they hear Krishna saying to them, I'm going to come and milk you. The grass is hearing, I'm going to come and put my lotus feet on you, and like that. So Krishna is relating to us as well, according to our advancement. Wherever you are in your spiritual life, Krishna is relating to you that way.
So how do we know what our relationship is with Krishna? And also, can that change?
Yeah, that's a very deep, good question. How do we know our relationship with Krishna? I wouldn't worry about it too much at the moment. Well, it said that it's a spiritual master. The spiritual master will reveal your relationship with Krishna at a certain time when you're ready. But at the moment, it's not that important. We just engage in devotional service where we're at. And when the time is right, then it would all happen. The spiritual master will, tell you what you are, reveal your sarup. That's one. But at the moment, you just follow the rules and regulations, sadhana bhakti, try to purify your heart, right? Shrimvatam svakata Krishna. So Krishna's in the heart and he's destroying the desire for material enjoyment in the heart of the devotee who's sincere. Yeah, so then we can quickly come to him. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for your class, Prabhu. As you explaining and, you know, giving all these descriptions, I guess for someone like myself, I felt, there's definitely a disparity or a distance from, you know, the appreciating the bliss that comes from discussing these different pastimes of the Lord, etc. And so, obviously, we are encouraged to take shelter of the aspect of sadhana bhakti. But at times, even when we're not, I can speak for myself, or when we reach rock bottom or we're going through struggles, that's the time when we can connect and feel Krishna the most. So it's not really just an element of practice, but it's more of an element of perception. So my question that I had is, what's the internal meditation that we should be having as individuals? Yes, we can do all these things because many people are chanting and they're distributing and they're doing all these things and might not necessarily be experiencing that inner feeling of longingness or wanting to be in connection with the divine. So my question is, what should we do on that internal aspect of our meditation, regardless of what activities we surround ourselves with on an external basis, based on time, place, and circumstance? What's that internal thing that we should be trying to cultivate to have that desire to want that? Because we can do anything dogmatically, just as a matter of duty. But if that desire is not there, how can we cultivate that?
We have to really sincerely and deeply pray to Krishna to give us the desire. Really sincerely pray to Krishna from within. Someone once asked the Guru Govinda Maharaj, he was speaking about, we should all be crying for Krishna. And someone said, well, what if you can't cry? And he said, well, then you should pray to cry. Why am I crying, you know? So we should be really internally developing this mood. First of all, understanding that, you know, I don't have anything. I'm completely useless without Krishna's mercy. I have no qualifications. Right? Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song here. Actually, you can learn a lot from the song of the acharyas, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur's songs. They're amazing. You know, they're not just something that we enjoy singing because it sounds good and it's melodious and it makes us feel good. But there's a reason why Bhaktivinoda Thakur's written those songs. It's really, you know, deep philosophical message he's giving us. So we're not qualified. We don't even have a desire most of the time. So we really need to pray to Krishna deeply to give us that desire, you know. And then externally, whatever we're doing, that we have to do, because we're in a mature world.
So then, does that mean that our desire to serve the Lord comes from Him? It wouldn't really be our own individual desire. It has to be something.
Everything comes from Krishna ultimately, but we have to be sincere. Uh-huh. We have to want it. Krishna's not going to give it to you if you don't desire it, and your desire has to be pure.
I mean, you mentioned we're asking the Lord for the desire, isn't it? So if we're begging the Lord for the desire and He's granting that desire, it's from Him, the desire to serve Him, rather than it being my own individual will to want to serve Him. It's still something I'm having to ask for, rather than me choosing for my own individual will.
If you don't have it, because we don't have anything. Krishna, everything we have is Krishna has given us. Yeah? Krishna, He says, I'm the ability in man, everything. But we just have to be a little bit sincere, that's all. Krishna just wants a little bit of sincerity, not a lot. And Lord Chaitanya is even more merciful than Krishna. He's not asking for a lot. Just a tiny little bit of sincerity. And then He gives you so much. That's all. Okay. Gyantaraj, Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Jai.